plenty of brothers and sisters. Masters have been coming from time to time to guide the child humanity back to their homes. We were sometime in the lap of God in our true home, ever since we are separated from there. We have forgotten our home altogether. So Master come to tell us that there is a God who has made all this creation, who is immanent in every form and controlling all creation. We are His children. We are of the same essence as that of God. We should love Him. As He is immanent in every form, His life, in every heart, we should love them too. If we love God, naturally when He resides in every heart, we should love everyone. So whenever they come, they bring the religion of love. All masters who came from time to time, they gave out the same thing in their own language, of course. Kabir says, love God, who is the controller of all. Tenth Guru says, addressing to all communities of the world, hear ye all, I tell you the truth, God is love, we are of the same essence as that of God, love is innate in our souls, and the way back to God is also true love. So they bring the religion of love. That is what Bible also says. Love thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. And the second commandment is love thy neighbor as thyself. All Persian philosophers everywhere you'll find the same truth. All scriptures which are with us, they have the sayings of those masters who came to the world and placed before us all that we should love God, and as God has created all creation, man, animals, birds, reptiles, they are the lower members of the family of God. But we say that we have not seen Him, how can we know now? So, along with this, tell us that you have got the man body. God made man with equal privilege from God. Born the same way, outer construction the same, two hands, 2 feet, 2 eyes, 2 ears, inner construction also the same. Man has got lungs, stomach, everyday morning, municipality takes out filth from the body. But you are not the body, you have the body. You are conscious entities as of the same essence as that of God. God is all consciousness and you are conscious entities. You are eliminating this man body. Body works so long as you are in the body, and wonderful it is. This man body which you are carrying has so many apertures of 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 nostrils, nostrils, mouth, and to underneath. With all that, we cannot run away out of it. So we are controlled in the body by some power which is called God intuition power. That power controls all universe also. That is called by different things, by different name. Nama it is called. Word it is called. Shabd it is called. So kalma it is called. So God absolute cannot be seen, nobody has seen God at any time, the absolute God, but the God which when came into expression, he was one and wished to be many. That power which came into expression, that is called God into expression, power called by different saints, by different names. That is the power that controlling the whole universe, also controlling us in the body. So our body works so long as we are in the body, and we are in the body so long that power controls us in the body. When that power is withdrawn, we have to leave the body. Man body is considered to be the highest in all creation. It is considered next to God. Mahindran scriptures tell us when God made man body and chosen life into it, he ordered the angels to bow down to the man body. Shastra Prashant that also says the same thing, that the souls of the rishis, after enjoying the higher bliss of different planes, when they returned, they selected the man body to enter. So man body is a golden opportunity in which we can know God and no other body. So that is why all scriptures talk so very highly about man body, and we are fortunate we have got the man body. This man body is given to us as a golden opportunity, but it is not to last long. It is not our home. And also the whole world in which we are here, that is not our own home. Man body is made up of matter, and matter is changing every moment of life. The world around us also is made of matter and changing at the same speed at which our body is changing. But we are conscious entities, souls, under the control of mind. Mind is under the control of outgoing faculties, and outgoing faculties are dragged like anything by the outer enjoyment. So we have identified with the outgoing faculties, body and outside world, so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. We are, as it were, under a grand delusion. The delusion comes up only because we have forgotten ourselves. It is you who live in the body, and so long we are in the body in which we can know God. But it is soul that has to know God. God cannot be known by the outgoing faculties, nor mind, nor intellect. With the intellect we try to understand what is what. So all masters who came in the past tell us, man knows thyself. All Greek philosophers said the same thing in their own language, of course. Genothi Seoton. All Latin had the sense to say, in their own language, of course, Nazi Egyptian. Russian philosophers also say the same thing. The ultimate end of all knowledge is to know God and to know yourself. If we have known so much all about other things and not known about our own self, then they give a very general, then you are ignorant. So we have got a man body. Fortunately, in this man body alone we can know all. Those who solve the mystery of life, masters, they say, well, look, you are a man, you are a conscious entity, you are of the same essence as that of God. You are in mind and body. You are in mind and in matter. The body, of course, is a very golden opportunity which you got it, but you are identified with it so much so that you have forgotten also. To bring home this thing, we can understand from a fact. A boat is going down the stream and got 4, 5, 6 people rowing in the boat. The speed of the boat is the same as that of the river, and those who are identified with the boat also rowing down at the same speed that the boat is rowing. A man outside on the calls out, dear friends, you are rowing down the stream. Those who are in the boat, they look to the water around them, and the boat, they say, well, we are standing, we are stationing, who says we are going? Why this delusion? Because we are identified with the boat, which is rowing at the same speed as of the water. So when two things are changing at the same speed, they appear to be stationary. This is a grand delusion in which all of us, both learned and the unlearned, both are undergoing. To know ourselves, then we will have to know how to know ourselves. We do generally know at the level of feelings or drawing inferences. They are both subject to error. Seeing is above all. I say, for instance, this is my spectacle, I have put it down, this is my watch, I have put it down, this is my handkerchief. I say, it is my body, it is my outgoing faculty, it is my intellect, my mind. Can we put it off? So knowing oneself is a matter of pure self-analysis. Rising above body consciousness, then you know you are the one who has lived in the whole body, just a bulb in the room, illuminates the whole room, seeing that your bulb of the soul is at the back of the eyes. From there you are living the whole man body. And you are controlled in the body. And man body alone you can know that controlling power caused God into speaking power. Both you and whom you have to meet, both reside in the man body. So man body is the true temple of God. Pity it is that the one who has to know him is talking about outside. So there are 10 doors in the body, 9 are apparent, 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, 2 ears, mouth, 2 underneath, and 10th is latent. That is at the back of the eyes, from where the soul is withdrawn and transcends into the beyond to the portal of death, what you call. So knowing oneself practically, you can have a defeat or some adept in this spiritual way. He will give you a demonstration how to rise above body consciousness. 9 doors lead to the sense world, and the 10th door from the physical body into the beyond. That is why all masters said, look here, know thyself. But knowing oneself practically is a matter of pure self-analysis, as I committed. Can we hazard the feet of somebody who does rise above body consciousness from day to day at his village player? So long we are in the body, it is something like that. A parable goes, a man was praying God, thanking him. People asked him, why are you thanking God? He said, last night thief came here and took away my heart. Then they asked him, what is there matter for thanking, because you lost the heart? He says, I am thanking God that I was not riding on the horse, otherwise I would also be stolen away. It's a matter of smiling, of course. But he was very wise. He saved the rider and let the horse go. And what we have done? We had the horse, we are riding, and the rider is forgotten. So man know oneself is to mean to know by practical self-analysis, by rising above body consciousness. When he knows that, then he sees some power is controlling him in the body. So Master tells us, there is a God. We can also see him. The God into Christian power, of course, when we rise above body consciousness, when we rise into the 10th door, when we rise above the life of senses. A great atheist was at the deathbed. He had in his room a motto written, God is nowhere. A child came up, he was reading G.O.D. God, I.S.I.S., N.O.W. now, H.E.R.E. here, God is now here. And in that way, then he said, yes, child, I see, there's some power, all right. So we can know, Master do tell us, there is a God, as I don't know. They bear testimony to it. And they said, you can also have a contact with him when your inner eye opens. Or at the time of death, when you withdraw from all outside, leave the 9 doors of the body and return to the back of the eyes, when your eyes are upturned, then you see that some higher power is controlling us. So he is the life of our own, very life. They come to tell us there is a God whom we should love. We are his children, and at the same time we are all brothers and sisters in God. Our souls are of the same essence as that of God. As such, all brothers and sisters. So as man, I told you, we are all one with the same privilege from God, no high, no low. As soul being of the same essence as that of God, we are his children. We are all brothers and sisters in God. And they tell us, love God. God resides in every heart. So whom we worship is also the same called by so many names. So unity originates as man, as soul, whom we worship. The unity already exists. We have forgotten. Master come and they give us a demonstration of that there is a God. They ask him, have you seen God? They say, yes. Guru Nanak was asked, is there a God? They say, yes, he's a parent everywhere. Christ said, behold the Lord. Similar Kabir said, my all delusion is God. When I rose above body consciousness and had a glimpse of God into His patient power, they bear testimony that we have seen God where? In this very man body. Why do we not see? Because it says mind stands between you and God. Our soul is under the control of mind. Mind is in the control of outgoing faculties, and outgoing faculties are engaged or absorbed into the enjoyments outside. Enjoyments outside drag like anything all the outgoing faculties. So we are under the grand delusion. Now to know God, unless we know ourselves by rising of our body consciousness, or return to the seat of the soul in the body, which is at the back of the eyes. So Master tells us, learn to die so that you may begin to live. Saint Plutarch tells us, those who are initiated into the mysteries of the beyond, their soul has the same experience of leaving the body as it has at the time of death. This is a matter of pure self-analysis. Knowing oneself by rising above body consciousness, and when we know ourselves, we see that controlling power is over it. We have mere purpose in His hands. So Master comes to remind. Scientists do tell us this body and the outer world is changing as a result of matter, etc. There is no other power which controls it. Ultimately they came to the decision, this is all well planned. There is some power which is controlling it, and that is a conscious power. Everything goes as stated, sunrise as stated ours. All systems, seasons come and go according to the system. So this is the first thing that the Masters tell us, that there is a God. Those we can see, they say we can see. Only the point is we rise above body consciousness. And now we are identified with it, so much as we have forgotten. So Masters, what do they say? They say, please, this man body is a place where you can manifest God. All of the masters also say, it is a place where God lives. Al Quran or the Muhammadan literature tells us that God says, I am the hidden treasure within you, why don't you have it? Guru Nanak also says this, the treasure of divinity is within you, you can dig it up, delve into it and dig it up, if you but listen to the word of the Master. Those who see, they can also give it the demonstrations, others to see. How? By rising above body consciousness. What do they tell us? Oh soul, this body and this world is not your home. Your conscious entity, your true home is the true home of your Father, who is all conscious. God does send masters from time to time to bring us back home. This world is, all are unhappy, you see. So they say, well, look here, look to yourself, you are a conscious entity, the opposition of consciousness. This man body is a golden opportunity which has been afforded to you. to know yourself and know your God. All service is concerning you in the body. So your true home is not physical body, your conscience, your true home is the true home of the Father, which is of our conscience. Now, if this is the mystery that has to be solved while in the man body, so all masters tell us we should arise above it. So there are different ways of telling amongst the Hindus. They say you must be twice born. One birth in this body and the second birth into the beyond. In the old days, 5 years, 7 years, 9 years old children were made twice born and were given Gayatri Mantra. Nowadays also that custom prevails among the Hindus. Children are made twice born and they are given the same Gayatri Mantra. Gayatri Mantra, what does it say? Rise above body consciousness, just accept the rays of the sun coming to you and be one with the sun, with you. O God, direct our souls to you. This is the Gayatri Mantra. So in the old days, 5 years, 7 years, 9 years old children were made twice born and given this mantra. All the same, at the same time they were given demonstration of that, how to rise above body consciousness and see the light of God. When he wanted absolute one to be many, when he came, came into being, there was vibration. Vibration results in two things, light and sound. God is light and God is nada, music of the spheres. God is Noor, Muhammad says, God is Noor in Kalam-e-Kaleem. Similar, all other masters say, as in Jyoti Maharaj and Shruti Maharaj. So first thing, you can know yourself only when you rise above body consciousness. You see that your enlightening this body. Take the example of a factory run by powerhouse. The stairs of the powerhouse are connected with the different departments of the factory, whichever department we want to close, you take off the step, that particular step from that department. If you want to close the whole family, then the main step is taken off. So factory of the man body is run by us. See? Now there are departments working in the man factory. There are departments of the sight, seeing. The department of the hearing, the department of the outgoing faculty called taste. So there's the department of the nose, eye, smell, and other contact, attachment. So five departments are working under the control of the man body, in the man body run by us. You know the outer expression of soul, what it is called attention. And you must have experienced such like things in your life. When you're sitting absorbed in some thought, somebody calls you once, twice, thrice, you do not hear. He comes up to you and tells us, look here, I've called you so many times, why don't you hear? He says, my thought was absorbed. My attention was not with the ear. I think must have experienced like that many times. Sometimes you are absorbed and start to taste your food, you don't think if it's sweet or what. When you want to have an injection, what do? You just divert your attention at once, they say, all right, now inject. Pain is felt but less. So this outgoing faculties get things from us.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Satsang from Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you just heard was the first half of a talk that Master gave in Eastbourne, England on September the 14th, 1972. It was given the name Way Back to God. Our reader this morning is Rick Casey. Hello, Rick.
Hello, David.
Carry on.
All right. Thank you. Hello, everyone. This morning, I will continue to read from the book God-Man, picking up where I left off last time. I'll read a little bit, overlap a little bit from where I was last time in chapter 7. The need of a guru or master is absolute, and there can be no exception to the rule. Suppose, for instance, a person wants to have a joyride in the air. No one will allow him to enter a plane by himself, even if he enters it surreptitiously. He will find the machinery locked. If somehow or other he overcomes this obstacle, he will not know how to handle the various parts of the machine. Should he dabble with it when the plane starts, he cannot take it up for want of necessary training, nor can he bring it down nor steer it correctly. The result, sooner or later, will be a crash and loss of life. The mechanism of the human body is much more complicated and delicate than that of any machine. Therefore, the need of a spiritual adept is all the greater, both for success in the practical process of self-analysis and also for the approach to God Himself and the understanding of the working of the divine will. The spirit imprisoned in the body cannot, per se, separate itself from it. With its seat above the focus of the eyes, it permeates the entire system, and the two are indissolubly intertwined with each other. Should it somehow or other find itself freed momentarily and collected and gathered up at its center, it cannot enter the airliner of Shabd. If it may find a way in, it does not know where to go, and how to return. But if the master pilot, the Sant-Sat-Guru, could be there to take the spirit along with him, and the two could enter the plane and take a few joyful rides together in the spiritual realm, the spirit could also learn how to handle the heavenly liner and to repeat the spiritual experiments. One well-versed in the mechanism of the human body, which is composed of three coverings, physical, mental, and causal, plus the living sentient entity underneath, a habitual traveler to the heavenly regions, day in and day out, can initiate a spirit into the mysteries of spiritual knowledge and by a practical demonstration show her a way out. By actual guidance and help, the master himself steers her safely from plane to plane and explains on the way the dangerous signals and points, sharp turns and twists, and the dangers of the unknown and untrodden spiritual realms. Blessed indeed is the spirit that comes across such an adept in the science and art of spirituality. Nothing but ill luck would dog a spirit's footsteps if she were to spurn his offer and attempt the divine journey by herself, unaided and unattended by a master soul. Mulata Rumi, therefore, in no ambiguous terms, warns against such a course. find a master spirit, for without his active help and guidance, this journey is beset with untold fears, perils, and dangers. In essence, Nam or Dun Atmik Shad, word, is an unwritten law in an unspoken language, and hence it cannot be had from scriptures and other holy books. This wealth can be obtained only from some adept in Nam, for he is word personified. He alone is competent to make it manifest to the spirit, and no one else can. It is a fundamental law of God that none can manifest Nam except Satguru, Master of Truth. The Shabd of a Master Soul can be heard only through his grace, and no one else can even make it manifest. A Master of Truth is fully conversant with all the mysteries of spirituality. Hence, his testimony carries weight, and his charged words drive home and prove effective. Listen to the true and infallible testimony of saints, for they have a first-hand experience of what they say. Gurbani, also in unambiguous terms, emphatically declares the imperative necessity of a master soul. The embodied spirits for ages upon ages have been leading a life of the senses and have never known that there is another side of the picture as well. Truth can neither be known nor experienced except the grace of a master of truth. Without a master, no one has ever found truth in the past nor in the present. The crest jewel of Nam has been kept in the hands of a master, and he is competent to manifest the same in the jivas. It is through God's grace that one comes across a master of truth. After a spirit has passed through cycles of births, then the master makes her hear the sound current. Listen ye all with attention and learn that there is none so great a philanthropist as a Satguru, for he bestows upon jivas the gift of precious Nam. Those who are prepared to lose their lives, i.e., come above the physical life of the senses, shall find truth on contacting a master soul. All saints, with one accord, declare that without a God-man, one cannot reach God and attain Godhead. God himself made this absolutely clear. It is a cardinal principle of God that one cannot even think of him without the grace of a Satguru. Nanak has learned from God that one cannot gain salvation without the active aid of a master. Satguru is a great ophthalmologist and an expert eye surgeon. We are all stark blind. God is within us, and darkly we grope for him without. But a contact with a Satguru restores to us the lost vision, and we begin to realize and experience God in the laboratory of the human mind. The entire mankind is blind and is blindly engaged in deeds of darkness and finds not a way out. O Nanak, when a spirit meets a master of truth, she begins to see with her own eyes, inner, of course, and she realizes the truth in the depths of the soul. we are nothing short of truly blind, for we see not regardless of physical eyes. Blindness consists not in the loss of eyes, but in keeping away from God. Nanak says, call them not blind who have no eyes, O Nanak. Such in fact are blind if you see not the light of God. Guru Arjan tells us that even a person with eyes may yet be blind if he sees not God, who is the very soul of his soul, and thus he commits sins. A person in full possession of his senses may yet be blind if he considers that God, the very soul of his soul, is far removed from him, and thereby he shamelessly engages in evil. With physical eyes, we witness the physical world around us. But the Shiv Netra, or third eye, in each of us is closed. When this eye opens, we can see the wonders of the subtle and causal worlds, and even those of the purely spiritual world beyond these. Blind is one who performs deeds of blindness because his inner eye is closed. All of us are concerned with matter and know not there is anything else. Ever engaged in mind and matter, he does not even think of God. Bound for Hades, he is ever in perpetual misery. Blind and deaf, he does not see beyond. A slave of the mind, he is immersed in sins. It is impossible for anyone to enter the higher regions by his individual efforts. It is imperative for an aspirant of these to take with him an adept who daily treads sun and moon in his heavenly journeys. Maulani Rumi says, a person desirous of making a pilgrimage should take with him an experienced pilgrim for the purpose, no matter whether that pilgrim be a Hindu, a Turk, or an Arab. Sadhguru, like a master surgeon, can restore vision to the inner eye. Shams e Tabriz tells us, should you like to see God, apply the dust of a God-man's feet to thine eye, for he can give sight even to the born blind. Nam, or Shabd, is a collyrium that makes a person capable of seeing heavenly visions. Without its use, one forever remains blind, yet human birth avails him not. Without contact with Shabd, a person is both blind and deaf, and gains naught from human birth. The greatest asset is the blessed Bani, which restores the sight that can apprehend God. Nanak. God is permeating through and through, but we do not see him as we suffer from myopic vision. Accursed is the person who sees him not, though he is within. All persons, O Tulsi, suffer from cataract over their eyes. Eyes are a great blessing. Without them, a person gropes in the dark. The whole physical world is just a blank sheet to a blind person. But how grateful would he feel if some expert surgeon were to restore his sight by means of an operation? The inner eye is 1,000 times more useful than the outer one, as without it, one cannot see anything beyond the physical plane, and for ages upon ages, he has been blindly staggering ever since the dawn of creation. The Master of Truth bestows vision to this third eye that has long been lying sealed, as it were, by constant disuse. Is it not a pity that such a valuable organ should be rendered useless, and that we have not taken the time even to think of the helpless state in which we are? Such, indeed, is the overpowering influence of mind and matter upon the embodied spirit. It is not only human beings, but also the gods that stand in need of light for the third eye, for without it, they too cannot see anything beyond themselves and their surroundings. Located as they are in the descending order, one below the other, they cannot see their own mother, Shakti, energy, from which each of them has sprung. The entire creation is born of Shakti energy, which works through three distinct agencies: Brahma, creator; Vishnu, sustainer; and Shiva, destroyer. Though all three are under her direction and control, yet strange as it may seem, they know her not. Tulsi Sahib also tells us that none can safely cross the sea of life except through the grace of a guru. None has ever crossed the fearful stream of life except with the aid of a guru, no matter if he may have been an intellectual giant like Shankara. When great personages like these stand in need of guidance and help of a guru, the puny child of clay simply cannot do without a master soul. Without a beneficent guru, no one finds a way out, although he may perform myriads of charitable works and deeds of merit. Again, Tulsi Sahib says, "Tulsi, without the aid of some Murshid-e-Kamil, perfect master, you cannot have salvation, nor can you see the way thereto." In Gurbani, we find emphatic reference to the need for a guru. "Let there not be the least doubt in the mind of any, for none has ever crossed the tempestuous and fretful seas of life without a guru. The world is a fearful ocean. The word of the guru is the boat, and he is the captain thereof. It is with his grace that one can reach God, and there is no other way. Guru is at once the bark and the captain, and without him, none can cross. God is the veritable gift of Guru, and the way to salvation lies through him." In the scriptures of the Hindus also, we find many references. In Katha Upanishad 1-2, we have, "Very few indeed are the persons who have the good fortune to hear of God, and fewer still who can know of him. Blessed is the high-souled one who talks of him, and blessed are they who have access to such a personage, and truly blessed is he who with his help and guidance finds God within him." Mere thinking and contemplation are of no avail. Without initiation, one cannot know of God. Unless you learn of God from some master soul, you shall not experience him. He is so subtle that thoughts fail to reach him and intellect cannot apprehend him. In Chandogya Upanishad 4:4-3, we have, from the pious and the holy, who are just like gurus, we have heard that without a master soul, we can neither know nor experience the true nature of the self. In Mandukya Upanishad, 1 Mandukya Khan 2 Shalak 7:12, we read, it behooves a Brahmin to disengage himself from the desires for the fruits of karmas and acquire a spirit of detachment. For God is self-existent and cannot be attracted by deeds of merit. To know him, he must, like a true seeker and disciple, go to a guru who is adept in the knowledge of Brahma and is fully embedded in Brahma. Without a guru, one cannot even have true import of the scriptures. In Svetasvatara Upanishad 6:23, it is recorded, he who is extremely devoted to God and has the same amount of devotion for his guru, he alone can understand the significance of the text herein. Let us now turn to Manu Smriti, chapter 2. A disciple must stand before his guru in perfect equipoise, with full control over his body and bodily organs. SH 192. A disciple must every day, before the commencement of his daily lessons and after completion of the same, do obeisance at the feet of his guru and act according to his instructions. SH 71. Those who try to follow the Vedas on hearsay authority only do a great disservice to the Vedas, for none can truly learn the Vedas without a guru, and such go to hell. SH 116. Whosoever imparts to you knowledge, either exoteric or esoteric, is worthy of your respect. SH 117. In Bhagavad Gita 4:34, we have, the practice of spirituality can best be done at the feet of a master soul, fully conversant with the reality, for such alone can guide properly. We cannot know the spiritual path without the help of a God-man, and our search should therefore begin with the latter. In the Holy Gospel, it is said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. No man knoweth who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Luke 10:22. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. John 6:44. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Matthew 10:40. In short, the sacred books of all religions repeat the same thing, to wit, that man cannot gain salvation except through a master of truth. The Shastras, the Vedas, and the Smritis all converge at one point. No one can have salvation except through grace. Right contemplation will bring home this universal truth to you as well. The easiest and the quickest way to reach God is through devotion to some master soul. The Prophet of Arabia, while exhorting Ali, said, "O Ali, thou art a lion in the cause of truth, brave and steadfast, but depend not on thy prowess and strength. For better it would be for thee to take shelter under a tree laden with flowers and fruits. O Ali, of all the ways leading to God, choose one that is of the beloved of God, for long and strong is his arm. He can easily take the seekers after truth into his holy presence." Maulana Rumi also exhorts in the same fashion. "The ever oscillating mind cannot be stilled unless it comes under the overpowering influence of some saint. Should you come across one, take hold of him with a firm grasp. Take rest under the shelter of an accepted one, for the proximity of a liberated soul shall liberate thee as well. Dove-like, sigh thou night and day, and search for the hidden treasure from some darvish, man of God." Again, "There is no friend greater than Satguru. He is the protector here and everywhere. Search for such a one, right and left, high and low, and never rest until he is found. Never turn away from the holy and pious, but diligently try to understand them and their real greatness. The path of spirituality is strewn with dangers and difficulties, and cannot be safely trod except with the help and guidance of a master. Every soul is clothed in three distinct sheaths: the physical, the astral, and the causal. It is through each of these that she can operate in the three corresponding planes. Her native plane, however, lies beyond the three. The physical plane itself is beset with terrible snares and difficulties. The astral, or subtle plane, is full of inconceivable temptations from which it is impossible for a jiva to escape unscathed. Similarly, still greater glamour awaits a jiva in the causal plane. Again, it is no small adventure to enter spiritual planes by oneself alone. This path is strewn with thorns and is sharp as a razor's edge. I have come to the end of my time." I was reading from God-Man, Chapter 7. Thank you, Master, for everything.
And thank you, Rick, for reading for us. There were 86 people at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
Can they just wake up and see where is your Lord? We have got self, we are souls, and God is the soul of our souls, you see. Our souls are directed outside. We have to invert. If we invert, we could have seen it. But inversion, we have not learned how to do it.